To the brightest audience in the country, I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic anti-choice talk show host. I think that the Islamic terrorist may repeat Hitler's fortuitous mistake. What did Hitler do wrong? Well, what he did wrong was good for the rest of the world because he spread out his war so that he was fighting on too many fronts, and that fact alone was one of the most significant causes of his ultimate demise. And look what the Islamic terrorists are doing. We've got the recent blast in Indonesia and the Philippines. The Philippines yesterday, a bicycle bomb. The terrorists in the Philippines don't have quite enough money for car bombs, but bicycle bombs could also be effective. A bicycle bomb exploded near a crowded Roman Catholic shrine, killing a soldier and injuring 18 people. Germany has issued a terrorism alert. They stepped up their security because officials believe they have an increased risk of attack. In Italy, police in Anzio, Italy, found an explosives belt at the home of three Egyptians who were arrested earlier this month on suspicion that they were plotting an attack. What the Islamic terrorists are in the process of doing, and if I had a talk show on a nationwide network, a major network, I wouldn't even say this in public because I don't want the terrorists or any of their operatives to get wind of this concept. But what they're in the process of doing is opening too many fronts in their war. And so if they're going to pull off attacks in America, in India, in Israel, kill Australians in Indonesia and Philippines, Pakistan, and then you add the concerns that are right now circulating, like in Britain and Germany and Italy. They're doing their best to repeat the move that led to Hitler's downfall. They're opening up fronts on every side. And the tragic thing is, with each front they open, they typically kill innocent people. So that's tragic. But the good thing is that as typically happens, wickedness destroys itself from within. So, all right, I'd like to do a handful of short stories, different stories today, and then you can feel free to call in and comment on any of them or whatever's on your mind. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Hey, those liberals who defend Saddam Hussein, right? They say Saddam Hussein's not all that bad. They might call George W. Bush a tyrant dictator, but defend Saddam Hussein, say, liberals like that. Or liberals who basically just say, well, Saddam, there's no evidence he's guilty of terrorism. And aside from all the evidence that there is, the one that Saddam publicly brags about is that he funds the families of suicide bombers. What does it give them, $15,000, $20,000 for each family? And you have liberals who say, well, that's not sponsoring terrorism. Well, what if there was a group in this country that, you know how transvestite, was it a transvestite, was just beat to death in California, not too far from San Francisco. And he is 17-year-old. What if, and so he's the latest of a handful of homosexuals or trans whatevers to be killed. What if there was a group that offered $15,000 to whoever killed a homosexual? Or at least the money offered to that person's family or his kids as a scholarship or to his whatever group he's a member of. If your group has a member that kills a homosexual, we have $15,000 that we'll award you. Well, obviously, the liberals would waste no time in making the direct connection, rightly so, that whoever would make such an offer is a conspirator, an accomplice to the murder. And so Saddam, just on that score alone, is an accomplice to terrorism. He's a terrorist. He harbors and supports, funds terrorism. He, you know, he had his amnesty yesterday where he released, I don't know that we know the exact number, but thousands of prisoners, tens of thousands of prisoners from all over Iraq. And why did he do this? And once again, for liberals to understand what Saddam Hussein is all about, think about if an American president released all the prisoners in the country, except for the murderers. But everybody else, how popular of a move would it be in a campaign for George W. Bush to say, I'm going to release all the prisoners. It doesn't matter what you're in jail for, except for murder, everybody else gets out. Rapists, out. Drug dealers, out. Everybody gets released. Wife beaters, released. How popular would that be? Would he get a surge in the polls and popularity if he were to do that? I don't think so. You know, remember the last couple of elections where the Democrats and the Republicans are trying to outdo one another as far as their law enforcement. And we're going to build more jails. Clinton's going to build more jails. He's going to put 50,000 more police on the streets and millions of dollars for building more jails. And we doubled the number of people in prison in America during the 90s. Doubled from 1 to 2 million. And that was popular. I don't know why. It costs a lot and it's hardly a deterrent, but it was popular. In this country, if you let everybody out of jail, that would be a disastrous political move. But here's the lead from the Associated Press. This out of USA Today. USA Today today. Iraqi President Saddam Hussein reached out to his people with an amnesty decree meant to empty his prisons to win support from the public. Listener-supported radio, Bob Benyart Live. In a moment, I'll give you our order line. And if you'd like to find out more about the foundation that we use on this program to talk about the issues, then you could call us up and order some of our materials. The foundation we use is the Bible. And to understand the Bible, you start with the big picture of the Bible. What is the big picture of the Bible? What is the storyline, the plot of the Bible? And if you understand the big picture, then you can understand the details. So you could call us up at 1-888-8-NYART. That's 1-888-836-9278 and order the plot manuscript for $49.95 plus shipping and handling. And we have a money-back guarantee on everything that we offer. I've got an email right here. We just got it. One of the last things we got from Jack Gildea of South Bend, Indiana. Bob, just a short note. The plot rocks the seven C's. Wow, I never heard that before. I am almost finished reading the manuscript, and I've never read anything so well written in years, except, of course, for the Bible. So it feels a little too braggadocious to read this, but we're excited. We're thrilled, honored by the encouragement we get from so many people who have read the plot. Bob, I pray that God will bless you, your family, your ministry, for the wisdom that you've sowed into my life through reading of the plot. Yours, Jack. Thank you, Jack. Hey, if you're interested in getting it in manuscript or on audio tape, call us at 1-888-836-9278. And if you'd like to go a little further than that, of course, you can get the plot manuscript, but you could also sign up for our monthly album. Our monthly album, once a month, around the middle of the month, but it varies a bit. We've got a small staff here. About once a month, we mail out, well, once a month, about on the 15th, we mail out an album. And it's one of our Bible study albums. Most of our albums have six tapes. A couple of them have four. Some of them have 8, 10, 12 audio tapes in them. And $34.95 a month includes shipping and handling. You get an album. You start out with the plot. Then the tree and predestination and free will, Genesis, Exodus, Revelation. It's a lot of fun. If you already have a couple albums, let us know what you have, and we'll skip those and get you on with the rest. Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-836-9278. I am Bob and Yurt, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. For those of you who visited Denver Bible Church in the last few weeks, hey, it was great to meet you. Hope to see you guys again and gals. All right, so Saddam released tens of thousands of prisoners to win support from the Iraqi public. What does that tell you about Saddam? The public doesn't want rapists and drug dealers and wife beaters. They don't want them given mercy. The public generally wants criminals to be punished and punished severely. That's consistent throughout history, across cultures. But Saddam uses the police in Iraq and the jails as his own political tool to punish his enemies. And so in the mind of the average Iraqi, most of the people in jail are in there unjustly. And so they're thrilled that the prisons are being emptied. See, those who are against us killing Saddam Hussein seem to have a lack of love for the Iraqi people. They don't really seem to care that these people are enslaved and have no freedom of speech. No freedom of speech. And if you don't have freedom of speech, what freedom do you have? Wow. What else has Saddam done recently? He has given land to loyalists in the army and government. He reopened a mortgage bank to give interest-free loans to selected government officials, his henchmen. And he's been selling French Peugeots cars, selling them at a discount. That's all pretty funny. All right. So anyway, oh, and also Saddam's lieutenants have been speaking kindly to the Iraqis in exile and urging them to return to the country. There's about 3 million Iraqis that have fled the country. How many total in the country? I don't recall. 22 million, something like that. 3 million have fled since Saddam came to power in 1979. And so now they're saying, oh, come on home. We are your countrymen. We love you. Come home. That's been done before. You know, and Saddam typically has some guy taken out and shot as soon as he gets back onto his native soil. So, all right, what else do we have here? 1-800-836-9278. In that story, that transgendered teenager in California, Eddie, somebody or other, liked to dress in women's clothes and wear makeup. Now, as a general rule, that's a very bad idea, unless you're a woman. Long ago, he told his mother he felt more comfortable as a woman. There's no father in the story. I wonder if he had a dad at home. He told his mother he felt more comfortable as a woman and wanted to get a sex change operation. And so then USA Today quotes his mother saying, he said he felt so abnormal, like a freak. You're dressing in women's clothes and putting on makeup. Of course you'd feel like a freak. Oh, brother. He didn't just wake up one morning and decide he wanted to look like a girl. I've always known that, said his mother, but I didn't care. You didn't care that your son dressed like a girl? I told him, whether you're a man or a woman, I'm going to love you. Cheryl has told our boys, her sons, that if they said they're a homosexual, she would disown them. Whether you're a man or a woman, I'm going to love you, even if it kills you, my darling. My little baby, even if it kills you, whether you're a man or a woman, I'm going to love you. I don't care how destructive it is. I don't care how you ruin your life. I'm so needy of your acceptance that even if you destroy yourself, I will support you in your own destruction because I'm desperate for love. Because I don't know God. I don't find my identity in Jesus Christ. I'm desperately needy for emotional support. And I'm willing to support you, my perverted son. Even if it means supporting you to your death, that you destroy yourself, because I am emotionally needy and I love myself more than I love you. So whether you're a man or a woman, I'm going to love you, even if it kills you, my son. Well, his lifestyle cost him dearly, according to USA Today today. On October 3rd, dressed in a denim miniskirt and flip-flops, the 17-year-old boy attend. Well, they didn't put in boy. I put in boy. The 17-year-old attended a small house party. According to court papers, after a girl came out of the bathroom and said that Eddie was a man, three men beat him, dragged him to the garage, and strangled him with a rope. Now, that's a tragic murder, and those guys are murderers, and they should be swiftly executed upon conviction. But figure this, a girl came out of the bathroom and said Eddie was a man. Well, what was she in the bathroom and suddenly got a revelation? Or was she in the bathroom and Eddie, a boy, was in a bathroom with a girl under false pretenses, and she felt offended as though a voyeur had tricked her? That's one of the problems with all this transgendered homosexual garbage. Women don't want a guy with a dress in a ladies' room. Women do not want a guy with a dress in a ladies' room. They don't want a guy in saddle shoes in a ladies' locker room in high school. You want that? You want a guy in a little cute skirt in a girls' locker room in high school? Well, you know, liberals are mindless. They're just flat out mindless. You're going to have a homosexual on a submarine in close quarters, a guy who says he's sexually attracted to men, and he's going to be what? Showering with and dressing with and sleeping with the people he's sexually attracted to so they can't escape the sexual tension no matter what they do, where they go. And once homosexuality is accepted in a society, there's no longer a social environment that can be guaranteed free of sexual tension. And that's a problem. You got Boy Scouts, all the guys hanging out together. If they're camping out and a girl ends up in the campground next to the Boy Scouts, you heard it right here on this show from Evan Todd. Everything changes. Everything changes. Of course, the dynamics, the sexual dynamics, the gender dynamics between men and women are significant. And teenage boys and teenage girls, and even younger. And if all of a sudden the boys are going to start dressing like girls and acting like they're attracted to other men, then where are you going to run? Where are you going to hide? Women will not be safe in the ladies' room. Because who's going to prove it? You know, who's going to prove that the guy in a skirt is really a woman at heart and not just a pervert? I'm speaking as though I were a mindless liberal dweeb, because either way, he's a pervert. But how are you going to prove it, that it's not just a guy who wants to be in a ladies' room, at a nightclub, at a health club? You want your wife, your daughter to be in a bathroom at a public library with a guy walking in right after she walks in? Oh, yeah, he's dressed in a skirt or a tutu or whatever, and he's got lipstick on and a wig, but he's a guy. And he's real excited to be going into the ladies' room following your 17-year-old daughter in there. That's the kind of absurdity that results. 1-800-8-N-YARTS, 1-800-836-9278. Now, I wanted to do a series of different topics on the show. Rather than one topic for the whole show, I thought we'd jump around. And now, you know, George W. Bush has announced that he's going to make it easier to get generic drugs. Right? What are they going to do? Well, they're passing a rule, an administrative rule, that will limit the ability of drug companies to maximize the protection that they get from their patents. When you make an invention, it's an intellectual property, and you're able to protect that property. Just like if you write a song, you can protect that song. If you create a play, you can protect that play so that people can't rip you off. And you could write a book and sell books and thereby make a living and encourage other people to write fabulous books because they could provide for their family with the income they get selling their books. In fact, intellectual property rights encourage millions of people, spur them on to excellence and to do really well at whatever it is they do. And so the same thing as pharmaceuticals. They spend billions of dollars on research and development, developing sometimes cures for serious ailments. We'll be right back. Hey, Bob here. 1-800-8-NER is the call-in line. I know you're listening on the radio or via CD right now. I mean, on the internet. You're listening either at kgov.com, this is my guess, or on listening to a CD-ROM, one or the other. And if you are, weeknights from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, weeknights 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, you could call in Bob and Yurt Live at 1-800-836-9278. And if you're interested in our materials, you could order online at kgov.com. Up at the top right, you could click on Bob's Materials and order from our store. It's a brand new store, just getting started. Or you can call us up at 1-800. No. That's the call-in line. 1-888-836-9278. That's 1-888-836-9278. We've been telling you guys about our monthly albums, which is $34.95 a month. And we're just a little bit concerned that some people might think, well, that's a bit more than I could afford. So we're keeping the monthly Bible study, which is $24.95 a month. And instead of getting an album every month, you get four tapes a month. Four tapes. And those four tapes are the same tapes that fill up the albums, only you get fewer tapes, save a little bit of money each month. And it takes a little longer to get through the various albums than you would do if you got one album every month. But it's the same basic program. And not only will you get the Bible study, but you'll help Bob Benyart Live stay on the air and reach more people. So, and we really appreciate and want to thank those of you out there who sign up for our monthly offerings. We've got the monthly Bible study, the monthly album, the sermons, the monthly sermons that I have the honor of preaching every Sunday. We have the Best of Bob, which is the 8 best shows of the month, mailed biweekly. Actually, it's semi-monthly, right? At twice a month, we mail out for $49.95 a month, shipping and handling included, 4 shows, 8 total. That's fun, too. All right, so George W. Bush has given the liberals what they wanted, and he's passing an administrative rule so that the pharmaceutical companies cannot maximize their patent protection, so they can't extend their patents as is commonly done. Now, that means we're told by the media and by the Bush administration that we consumers will save $3 billion a year. Consumers and the government, since the government pays for drugs, which they shouldn't, but they do, that we'll all save $3 billion a year. Now, let me ask you this question. Just in the past months, I've got loved ones and friends who have been ill and taken just these miracle drugs that help people so wonderfully, overcome serious ailments and disease often, mix the right drugs with the right workout, exercise, and the right healthy diet, you could really get a lot more healthy years out of your life. Well, will you get the same improvements in drugs, the same research and development effort in advancing the pharmaceuticals that are out there if you take $3 billion a year away from these companies? Will you get the same improvements, the same advancements? Of course not. Of course not. So some more people will suffer and more people will die early as a result of a slowdown in R&D that will happen. When you take a profitable industry, you know, if it's fixed, don't break it. A profitable industry, and maybe we could tweak it and basically make it like the automobile industry or the steel industry or maybe the airline industry. Because we're unhappy because pharmaceuticals are making money. So we got to plunder them next. Let's go to Indianapolis. Joe, speak your mind. Hello,
yeah, Bob,
hello, Joe.
Joe.
Hello, Joe.
Hey, I wanted to ask you a question about, I heard this on a debate the other day on public television.
Yeah.
And they had a roundtable discussion, and a guy was asked if he was in combat and his soldiers were dying in front of him, and he told one of his privates to, you know, charge up a hill, but every time someone ran up the hill, they got shot and died.
Right.
And the guy got scared and said, you know, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to die. I'm scared. And he asked the sergeant what he would do, and he said, well, I'd tell him either do it or I'm going to shoot you and kill you. So I was just wondering from a Christian perspective or biblically.
I would have him court-martialed and then punished accordingly, assuming he's convicted. When you're in war, you have to obey. You obey the chain of command. However, you don't obey if you're ordered to kill innocent people. But to win a battle, oftentimes, it takes casualties. And that's just a reality of war. It takes casualties. Now, I'm thrilled that we've reached the point, because of our economic prowess, that we've been able to fight largely casualty-free wars, where our side has almost no casualties. And I'm talking about, of course, the Gulf War and Afghanistan, where we destroyed a government, an army. We took a country away from the Islamic extremists, and we had almost no casualties. I mean, the people who did lose a loved one, of course, to them, it was the greatest cost you could ever have. But for the most part, we've reached a point in our development that we could fight a war with almost no casualties. What did Iraq have? We were told the fourth largest army in the world. And we had, you know, about 100 casualties, but with an army of 500,000 people in the Persian Gulf. And so anyway, I'm glad that for our side, Joe, I don't think we're faced with that dilemma all that often, but fear is not a defense when you're in the army and you need to obey the command, the chain of command.
What if the situation wasn't necessarily following a chain of command, but do you believe that it's sinful for a person to act in a cowardly way?
Well, it sort of doesn't matter if it's sinful or not. If you're in the army and you're given a command, you have to obey.
Apart from the army, I'm talking about just like if a man is scared to go investigate a sound in his home, you know, because he's scared that someone's going to kill him or something.
Oh, cowardice. You know, the Bible says that true love casts out fear, and that doesn't mean, of course, that's a figure of speech, and righteous people will be afraid at times, but we're not going to be paranoid, and we're not going to have irrational fears.
Right.
And even when there is a real threat, we will still be able to act courageously.
And we should be scared when we're standing on the side of a mountain with a 1,000-foot cliff right next to us. We shouldn't be acting foolishly and jumping around saying, I'm not scared. And we should be scared when we have our families, you know, in a situation where we're confronted with criminals. But I think that people that are cowards, I don't know if it's sinful or not for them not to respond or to try to do anything. But I certainly think, you know, that it's definitely wrong. You know, I mean, I think a man should do
cowardice,
everything he can to thwart the attempts of a criminal.
Cowardice, I think, probably could be traced to selfishness. I imagine. I'm just thinking on the fly here. But cowardice to me seems like it would stem primarily from selfishness. And cowardness comes not only on the battlefield, but in all different venues and circumstances in life. So,
well, that's all I wanted. I just wanted to get a second opinion on that.
Thank you, Joe.
That's what I thought. I thought that the soldier should obey the command. I thought shooting the guy was a little too much. I thought he should, I thought the punishment of watching his other platoon, members, disarm the enemy and then look at him and say, you foolish coward, you didn't want to stand with us and fight. But I thought it was wrong for the guy to say that he would shoot him.
Well, that seems a bit rash on the spur of the moment. And there's due process in the Bible and in government and even in the military. Hey, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Appreciate that, Joe. 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Going through a number of different topics here today on the show. And one of the topics, the one I want to do next, we just did health care and prescription drugs, pharmaceuticals, and let's just save money, right? As though there's no downside, let's just pass a law and cut the cost of drugs. No downside, we'll just all save money. Oh, yeah, the greedy drug companies, they could afford $3 billion a year. Well, yeah, they're, most of them are not going to go under. Maybe some on the fringes will. And whatever advances they might have brought along, we might never get. But you take $3 billion away from an industry and you make it less profitable, and they're going to spend less money on R&D. And some of the brilliant minds and the extraordinary efforts will go elsewhere. There's no way around that. And if it costs a lot to get extraordinary health care, well, that's good. You don't want it to be cheap to get extraordinary health care, because then real quickly, instead of extraordinary health care, you'll be getting the same kind of health care you'd get at a veterans hospital. Talk to a vet about health care through the veteran administrative hospitals, the VA hospitals, and ask them how great it is. Or talk to a Canadian about care in Canada, because you know why? The people providing the health care now, they cannot get fabulously wealthy any longer, because the liberals have ensured that there would be fairness in the system and every doctor would be equally poor. Oh, I'm sorry, not poor, just equal. Every doctor will be equal. It's the liberal Star Trek mentality that you don't need money. Everyone will work hard just for the good of mankind, just for the good of the Federation. That's just mindless. Just mindless. It doesn't work that way. And as a result, go to Canada and watch people die. Hey, this is Bob Enyart. Our call-in line is 800-8-ENYART and the order line 1-888-836-9278. Tell you about some of our audio albums you might be interested in. And, you could get a series of albums at a discount. We don't talk about that very often. Well, probably because I don't have the discounted prices in front of me in the studio. We should get those, though. Because, for example, the Book of Genesis, we've got six albums in the Book of Genesis: Creation, the Fall, the Flood, Abraham and Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. So most people order them separately, of course, And the average price is probably about $32 or so. But you could order them all together as a set, and you end up saving about the price of one album. So you get six albums for the price of five, basically. And you get a discount with the albums in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John comes in a three-album set, and you could get those three all together and get a discount of about $15. And the same thing with the Plot albums. We've got five albums from the Plot series, the overview of the whole Bible, the Plot, and then the Tree, the Law of Moses, the Last Days, that's like the Antichrist, Second Coming, Tribulation, all that. And then Details Galore, which is all about the miraculous, the supernatural. In Details Galore, in that album, we discuss every single miracle in the Bible, all of them. How many miracles are in the Bible? Well, I haven't even looked at those notes in a while, but I think it's about 360. Every single one we discuss and analyze in certain respects. It's so much fun. And so you could get the five Plot albums at a discount, save about $25. And the same thing with our seminars. You could get all four of our seminar albums at a discount. So there's different ways we make our materials available. And, of course, as we tell you, often there's a money-back guarantee. A money-back guarantee. So if you don't enjoy what you get, if you don't learn, if you don't advance in your Christian walk, in your understanding of the Bible, then get your money back. You're welcome to that. one 800 8 NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. You know, the liberal idea is that the government is going to give us things like prescription drugs. Well, the government doesn't have prescription drugs. They first have anything they're going to give you, they have to take from someone else. So whatever benefit the government gives you, it first has to take from you. If it's going to give you prescription drugs, everything you buy in your life is going to be more expensive because they're going to increase taxes enough to cover the cost of the prescription drugs plus their middleman cut. When the government is the middleman, they get a big cut. Do you want to buy something direct or through a middleman? Well, normally you'd prefer to buy it direct. And if there are two or three middlemen, you know, the price goes up. You want the government to be another middleman in your health care, in your education, in your whatever it is? The government should do what only the government could do. That's it. The government should not sell drugs. They shouldn't provide insurance. They shouldn't raise little kitties, change diapers, clean noses, feed children. That's not the government. That's not the government's job. Let's go to Thornton, Colorado. A listener from KLT Radio, Bob, speak your mind.
Oh, yes. How you doing, Bob?
Doing well, sir.
I just wanted to say that, you know, a lot of people aren't aware of it, but the very basis of our economy is socialistic. And the reason I say that is because the Federal Reserve creates the money out of thin air. For instance, in the year 2000, we had a $9.7 trillion economy, and over $800 billion in actual circulation. In 1960, we had a $500 billion GNP and only, I think, about $40 or $50 billion in circulation.
All right. Now, Bob, you've brought up two topics.
Yeah.
And on this show, we try to be ruthlessly logical.
Okay.
And you've said that you can show that we have a socialist economy, and I agree with you, we do, because the Federal Reserve creates money by fiat out of nothing.
Yeah, out of thin air.
Okay, but let me ask you a question. Was there any socialism before the Federal Reserve?
Well, before that time, the individual banks created the money. Well, they had gold and silver behind, if you had paper money.
Maybe you could, hey, Bob, if you don't feel comfortable answering this question yes or no, that's fine. You could just say so. But was there any socialism before the Federal Reserve?
I don't know.
Well, there was. There was.
Yeah, sure.
There,
I know
there was.
The town I'm originally from, which is Winston-Salem, North Carolina, it was peopled by Moravians from Czechoslovakia. And the church owned everything. All the shops, all the businesses were owned by the church, and all the money was when you charged something, there was no profit motive.
What was the very first beachhead in North America by the settlers, the first colony?
In Plymouth, Massachusetts.
Well, before that.
I suppose in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
No, Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Well, right? That's where the oldest church is.
Oh, I'm not talking about Christians. I'm talking about it's on the tip of my tongue. Jamestown. Jamestown.
Jamestown, Virginia.
Yeah. What was the year of Jamestown? What was the year? I wasn't ready for a history lesson, but let's see. Columbus sailed in 1493. Columbus sailed the deep blue sea.
Uh-huh.
That's not 42. Right. 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. But I think Jamestown was around 1604, something like that.
Okay.
But that's when it became a permanent settlement. 2 years before that, they settled in Jamestown, came across the Atlantic, and they attempted to set up a socialist government where everything that everyone produced was collected by the government, and it would be doled out to individuals as they had need.
Right.
And very quickly, that completely failed. Most of the people died. They could hardly survive the winter because people were lazy. And so they tried 2 years later, and they said, new rules. Now we're going to base our economy on freedom, and you get to do your own work, and you get to keep whatever you earn. And that became, the earliest permanent settlement in North America, perhaps, by the Europeans.
Okay.
So, you got socialism going all the way back to the time of Nimrod, who founded Babylon.
Okay.
If we read in Philo about Nimrod, who he ran the government, and he had people look to the government for their needs instead of to God. That's
okay.
What Philo wrote 2,000 years ago, describing Nimrod, the founder of Babel. And so anyway, you don't need money by fiat, which is when you bring currency into existence just by declaring it so. You don't need that to have socialism. So I'd rather not confuse a monetary system with an economic system. Your monetary policy is one thing. You could have socialism with the gold standard. In fact, the world has had that. And you could have gold and silver, precious metals, as your form of money, and the government collect heavy taxes and provide for people, and then you have socialism with the gold standard. So you brought up two completely separate issues.
Well, I see what you're saying, but...
They can't overlap, of course. Because they both have to do with government and money. They can't overlap. And a fiat system is used by socialist governments because they could print as much money as they want and use it to fund their social programs. And then typically the money is inflated, it loses its value, and the economy suffers, all that.
Right. And, of course, today the biggest social program, foreign aid, is free trade. And through NAFTA and through GATT, we are giving all kinds of foreign aid to all kinds of different countries.
All right, let's be ruthless again. Bob, NAFTA and GATT were disasters. Because NAFTA, how many pages was NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement?
I believe it was 30-some thousand.
I think you're in a ballpark, 15,000.
Maybe 16,000.
Yeah, 15, 16,000 pages. Now, to have a free trade agreement with Mexico, you could probably fit it on about one page.
Yeah.
We're not going to charge import duties on your goods, and you don't charge them on our goods. And say, okay, cool, and we'll trade. So what do you put in 15,000 pages? There's a lot more than free trade going on. And so we were completely against NAFTA and GATT because it's mostly socialist garbage.
And one of the provisions of NAFTA is that we are going to be moving to virtually open borders with Mexico and Canada, just like the European Common Market. Eventually we'll merge our governments like the European Union.
Well, the European Union was first the common market. It was the common market, and just like now Canada, Mexico, and America were forming a common market, and certainly the people who crafted NAFTA and GATT, they fantasize of doing away with borders and giving the United Nations more and more power and doing away with national sovereignty. That's part of their fantasy, and they've been at it for decades. So that is a problem. But I would want to solve that issue. I mean, I would want to separate that issue from the issue of whether or not I can purchase for my kids a computer filled with RAM chips that'll cost me $50 instead of $500. I'd rather pay $50 for another 256 meg of RAM than $500. And I remember when we couldn't get Japanese RAM in this country, and I needed 2 megabytes worth, and I had to pay $4,000 for 2 mega RAM. I don't know if you remember. I'm sorry. It was 4 mega RAM, $2,000. I don't know if you remember that. But today, for $50, you get what? 256 megabytes. So I'm all for the Japanese people working hard to improve the standard of living of my children. I'm all for that. And I don't want the government to interfere with that.
But well, the thing is that when you look at the Federal Reserve regarding health care.
Well, Bob, we were just talking about, you brought up free trade. So I address free trade. You should respond on the issue of free trade, not go back to another hobby horse.
Well,
I just made an argument against tariffs because tariffs are a tax on consumers, on people.
Okay.
And so I don't like the government taxing. The Bible says that 10% tax is tyranny. 10%. And so we've got a 50% tax. I don't want to increase tax on the shoes my kids buy and the computers and the bananas we buy. I don't want more expensive bananas. Do you?
No, of course not.
No, so I want free trade. I don't want the socialism that liberals add to it, but I want inexpensive products.
Well, the thing is that free trade has been brought about only through the device of monetary policy, expansive monetary policy. Without that, we couldn't have free trade.
Yeah, you could have free trade with a gold standard or privatized money or...
But it wouldn't work.
Cheaper products work.
Cheaper,
and the better your monetary system, the better cheaper products will work.
Well, the fact is that when you create trillions of dollars worth of money, and it's only paper or on a computer file someplace, and it doesn't have any gold or silver, then that means that you can expansive with your economy
We're out of time. We're at the very end of the program. Another time we'll have to talk about monetary policy. But thank you so much for calling in. We like to keep the issues all separate, though. This is Bob Inert reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.